Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Gotta be the most emo jingle of all time. Welcome to the program. It is Both Types of Sports. Thank you for tuning in. Day late, dollar short, but we are here regardless. And I gotta say, after watching a certain pro day, and I'm not gonna say whose, but it was Cam Ward, watching his pro day and watching the response that people have had to his pro day, I've only got one way to describe my reaction.
I'm butt sized.
I'm butt sized. I am butt sized. I take it all back. They're geniuses. They should have ignored Sam Darnold. They should have not traded for Joe Milton. They should have put Aaron Rodgers on the back burner. You know why? Because we're Camtown, baby.
I'm butt sized.
I'm butt sized. Tor, I've been cutting it close lately. Hello, Tor.
I'm happy for you that you're butt sized.
What's that?
I'm happy for you and your journey to the draft. And I know that we're very quickly approaching draft month. I don't think you guys should take Cam Ward. I think you sold me on another option, and I think that option that you guys should take is Abdul Carter. I think he'd do best in Tennessee. I think Ward would do best in Cleveland, and I think Shador would do best in New York.
Doesn't matter where they can do best. It matters to me what's going to help my team not be the laughingstock of the whole fucking league. That's what matters to me. I look, this is not what I wanted. You know that. I gave other options the entire offseason for Tennessee. But here's what I'm telling you, Tor. It don't matter anymore. It's a done deal. As a matter of fact, I'm triggered that they're having him come to Nashville for a follow-up for whatever these additional meetings are with this 15-dude panel that they've put together to be the general manager. I don't see successful teams with 15-dude panels. Who's taking this player? Is it the vice president of operations? Is it the team president? Is it the assistant to player personnel? I haven't even learned all these motherfuckers' names. Here's what I do know. Is that people who I trust that talk about football were blown away by that pro day, Tor, and it's going to happen anyway. They completely ignored the quarterbacking position. If anything, well, they lose. They've lost a quarterback this offseason. The Pittsburgh Steelers opted to gobble up the one quarterback they had on the roster. I'm butt-sized.
I'm butt-sized.
Look, we're going to win the offseason. Here's what I know. I only know one type of pain, and that is a team that wins the offseason. And I didn't think it would happen as quickly as it has, but I'm right back in the pocket for the type of pain that I'm most familiar with, Tor. And if we take the sexiest quarterback in the draft at one overall, we win the offseason. Not the Vikings, not the Bears, the Rams, the Commanders, all these other media darlings. No. Titans overpaying for linemen, neglecting the right receiver, letting some of their core players leave. This is the best. We've done it. Having Derrick Henry doing interviews about how if he got to stay in Tennessee with Mike Vrabel and A.J. Brown, all they would have been in the AFC Championship game. That means nothing to me at this point because we've got our quarterback and it's 29 days away until I pre-order my jersey.
I think the jersey is the right call. I wouldn't go all in on a stitched authentic off day one. I think it is the right call. And I guarantee you, here's one thing that you should take solace in.
Yeah.
You guys, no matter who you pick, no matter how they turn out, they will not have you. The Tennessee Titans will not have had the worst offseason in the AFC South, let alone the NFL, as the Houston Texans are my ring-a-ding-ding big fat losers of the NFL offseason, surrounding their franchise quarterback with marbles and jacks. And I don't understand it. I continue to see their additions and there are subtractions. And at least Tennessee is in a power position to draft a possible franchise guy. They found their guy. They got lucky. And then they're letting him on the lifeboat by himself to carry them to a Super Bowl trophy.
You know what I thought of, Tor, because I completely agree with you. They're treating him like Aaron Rodgers after Aaron Rodgers had already won a couple of MVPs in a Super Bowl. Right? Like, I like C.J. Stroud. You like C.J. Stroud. We have Sal on the show all the time. Everybody loves C.J. Stroud. Great mindset. Wonderful player. Awesome behind the podium. Natural born leader. You got to wait till you win the Super Bowl and then he wins the MVP before you can say, okay, we're not giving you any more help. You've got to do it all by... He hasn't even signed his big contract.
He's on his rookie deal and they're shafting him. Who does that?
Texans. Texans do that.
This must be some weird revenge thing for Slowick, because him and Slowick didn't agree. And then since then, they're abandoning all plans. I didn't know the OC was the grand master of keeping your quarterback upright and keeping players that could do so. Shocking.
Do we forget the Texans are some shit? Like, I mean,
I do. Yes.
Right. We forget. Like, it was 5 years ago. D'Amico Ryan's great and CJ Stroud's great. The Texans are some shit. Like, the Bengals are some shit. Like, just because the Bengals have Joe Burrow doesn't change who they are at their Bart of Barts.
They're real bad.
Yeah. I think the Titans are some shit too. I think they got a crazy owner that wants to look a certain way on the surface. She's intimidated by big, strong football men, or at least that's what it sounds like. I mean, imagine if you got a new $5 billion stadium opening up in Nashville, right, Tor?
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, AJ Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill in this division. One of them was sought after coach of the offseason, top five wide receiver, MVP caliber running back. Let's sell some motherfucking season tickets, even if we're going to win 9 wins or 10 wins or whatever it is, go out in the first round. How much different? They outsmarted themselves trying to look smart, and it's just they're wearing it on their sleeve. Now they dumb lucked out that the Giants wanted to go out there and be somebody, swing their cock around in week 17, because they'd be sitting there waiting to see what fucking New York's going to do. And you know what New York was going to do.
Oh, yeah. Pick. The Titans, out of the players and coach that you mentioned there, that's three possible statue guys at a new stadium. That's we could get a big Mike Vrabel statue with his massive jock strap and his huge chin. And then likewise for AJ Brown and Derrick Henry, it could just be statues of their jaws and jocks. I don't even need to see the full body. That's what we really should be celebrating for these gentlemen. But they have fumbled up so badly. And it only started when you became a fan. And that's the only thing I can think about with this team.
Off.
I'm really not. I know I went on this jag last week and you were on an absolute fire tear. But it's the first thing I go to is, oh, my God, Shude got to him.
Yeah.
And it looks like it. Well, maybe you guys dig yourself out of the hole. I thought Cam Ward's pro day was very good. It was very good. But it was a weak first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. So I think the sports writers were ready to get
hard. Get the fuck out of here. You're blaming college basketball for Cam Ward getting rave reviews?
I am, because I am a big dummy. Huge dummy that loves getting steamed up for pro days and padless throws and all of it. No more. Duped no longer. I refuse.
I got a fucking clip for you for a guy. You respect Ryan Wilson? He knows a thing or three about football. He was on my radio show about 1,000 times until I was fucking canceled.
One of the things I learned is that his arm strength in person is a lot better than I thought it was on tape, and it was pretty good on tape. So that was fun to watch. Ryan actually has a really good relationship with Cam, and there's an interview you can check.
Moran's the guy they fired last year, by the way.
Check out on YouTube, on the CBS Sports YouTube channel, where he talks to Cam for 15 minutes, and you get to see the type of person that Cam is, but he has an edge to him. He feels like, in my opinion, and Moran can expound on this, he has a lot to prove. And like we said last night, if there is any doubt about him being the first overall pick before yesterday, it felt like he removed those doubts with the way he – it was the near-flawless performance. And Haley, in the –
listen to this part, clown hater.
The years, last few years, I've been to Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and then last year, Jaden Daniels and Drake May. This was the best pro day performance I've seen in person, and it might not even be close.
Oh, the best pro day, even better than the Slim Reaper, the Christ Child playing for the Washington Commanders. Imagine that. Suck my dick.
A couple things. I think it's the quickest transition I've seen from football to desk in Ran. I think he wanted to be sitting at a desk in a suit after a couple years as the GM, or maybe 1 year as the GM in Tennessee. Shocking to see him already back in the mix and telling other teams how they should be operating on TV. I'd take a breather and maybe try to get a college program right before
you
go
think,
there.
You think he's getting any guff for this ridiculous team firing him after 1 year?
No.
Regardless of whether or not he was qualified or not, we'll never know until he gets another team. They replaced him with 14 nerds. I mean, I don't know, man. But also, hey, by the way, Ran, we're getting rid of all the players that are any good that everybody loves. You don't have one. Go to the Titans team store right now. Try to buy a jersey. You're embarrassed. I'm going to pull it up. Go to their Fanatics page tour.
And
go to the
signed
merchandise. Go to the signed merchandise. See what they're charging for this toilet paper. Fuck me. So, but Ryan Wilson is saying that makes no impact on you.
That's impactful. If you're willing to go on TV and say something like that, then I will believe that he was genuinely swayed by the pro day. I take a lot less stock seeing that he's sitting at a table bigger than the Titanic. I mean, good God, find a bigger set piece.
He did have a fucking...
Sit closer together on a 20-foot table.
He did have a coal barge that he was broadcasting. Let's take a look. Let's go down Misery Lane just so you know how bad this gets. Because I don't think nobody pays attention to the Tennessee Titans, and nor should they. Nor should they. They should be placed on the pay no mind list for everyone else. Let's go down the list here, Tor. Would you like a Will Levis Tennessee Titans 2023 NFL draft pick autographed Rydell Speed Authentic helmet for $649?
No, thank you. I would not.
All right, let's keep scrolling. Chris Johnson, that's pretty cool, right? I'd like to have a Chris Johnson autograph card. How about an A.J. Brown card? These are almost gone. A.J. Brown in his Titans uniform, $279.
I'm fired up for the CJ2K card. I'd like to do an updated one with CJ2K in his 40s with his belly. That makes me so happy.
Look at these Eddie George cards making me look like an idiot. Anybody would want these, right? Look at that. He's got the sweet Oilers uniform there.
Oh, well, yeah.
Let's keep scrolling. Here's a Will Levis mini helmet for $229. You buying that? You fucking... How about Kevin Byard? Kevin Byard.
I'd chew on that helmet like an appetizer. Tiny little mini helmet.
Here's a Ryan Tannehill Titans autograph. 11x14, $64. At least this one. They had the common decency to put this on sale. It doesn't even come with a frame.
Well, that framing is a racket. I'd make the Savages charge for their own frame as well.
What is this? Will Levis Tennessee Titans autograph Rydell mini helmet art by Charles Fizzino. This looks like an epileptic seizure. They want $2,200 for this piece of shit.
Looks like the helmet you gifted Drab for the hair restoration.
Yeah, he wore that once. My brother bought that for him, and then he never fucking put it back on.
Probably would have.
These are all Levis. Look at these Levis helmets. $800.
Who do they think they are?
I mean, why don't we... Let's wait for him to throw for two touchdowns in a game before we do all this shit. Will Levis. Derrick Henry. God bless him. Maybe it's an investment for when he goes into the Hall as a Titan. Here's another A.J. Brown. Almost gone. Act fast. 4 out of 10, $229. That card isn't worth the paper it's printed on. You just have to pick my fucking teeth. Other than grind, I don't know who else... You know, maybe a couple of the young players, young rookies from, last year. Devondre Sweat, perhaps. I don't know. Who are you buying a jersey for that team?
It's just grind. Yeah, I don't. Maybe it would have been Nick Westbrook, Akeem, but that is no
Ridley.
Longer. Ridley would have been
Calvin the Ridley. Yeah, sure. David Flacco Berry, you guys know how I feel about super chats, of course.
I'm butt sliced.
Definitely. $10. Thank you so much. Thanks for a little bit of joy in my off season, boys. No joy for you, David. I wouldn't say another fucking word. Honestly, the only team that might be worse than the two that we've talked about in the South is the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, seriously, what
they're real bad.
Yeah, they're real bad. But thank you for the $10. Very, very kind of you. And I'm glad you're watching the program. All right. So you don't believe in Cam Akers? Is that what you're saying? Or you still believe no. in Nashville?
I do not believe in Cam Akers. Cam Ward, I believe in. Like, I have a good baseline belief in him. I did see a funny tweet that was how are the Vikings supposed to sign Cam Akers in week 9 now after they had this stellar offseason? But I have a baseline confidence in Cam Ward that he's going to be able to do a lot in the NFL, which is great. But I think that Cleveland fits him best because tracking his college career, he started with the mighty underdog, Incarnate Word, FCS level team, then traveled up to the mighty underdog in Washington State and performed very well at both locations, and then traveled again over to Miami, finally blossomed. I think that the Browns may be best fit for that underdog overachieving role.
Tennessee's not an underdog, brother. They're the worst team in the league.
They were a number one AFC team with a lot of respect pretty recently. And I would still hold, I still hold them in higher favor than I do with Cleveland.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about. There isn't a team that could carry, there isn't one player that could carry Myles Garrett's jock back to the locker room. I mean, nobody would switch jerseys with him. He would go home with his jersey on if they played the Tennessee Titans right now. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you're saying it's more of a football town and it would be a bigger story if with that Deshaun Watson contract, he was able to lead the Browns into some sort of relevancy. Yeah, I would agree. Jerry Judy's there. Is Njoku still there? Nick Chubb, I think he's a free agent. Yeah. They've got I would say that the talent around him is probably somewhere in the same vicinity for those two teams. I don't know. Do you want Stefanski or Callahan working with you? I mean, I would assume Stefanski's got a better track record.
Probably Stefanski. I also worry that Tennessee is more than a quarterback away, which is very, that's tough. The receiving options are rough in Tennessee compared to Cleveland, which is not much better, but there are a couple more options on the outside that are reliable. That could be a bailout safe haven. Not Judy, but Njoku could probably get 60 catches and really be a good guy for him to grow with and play with.
With Cam Ward?
Yes, with Cam Ward. So I just see it as I think that you really did sell me on the idea of Tennessee going Philly route, saying we're going to load up in the trenches. We already started it last year and the year before. We're going to keep grinding this thing out. And once we have that solved, then we go get quarterback, then we go get weapons, and then we're back on track again. I just don't know if jumping into Cam Ward fixes any of their long-term issues right now if he's not the guy, whereas a defensive end could fix at least one of their long-term issues for a while.
Yeah, but I said that a week ago, and that was way before I became...
I'm butt sliced.
I'm all in. After the pro day, I'm all in. I want him on there. I want to see him in the pads. I see all the Instagram mock-up jerseys. He's the sexiest girl at the dance. I want him on my arm, even if I know I'm not even getting a hand job at the end of the night. It's all we got. Our friend of the show, Jim Wyatt, who I think is probably one of the most venerable people covering that team, had a chance to sit down with Cam Ward. We don't have to play all this tour, but I mean, I think most people know that he's pretty impressive behind the mic and seems to have some maturity. And, there's been I just don't even believe the debate about Shedeur Sanders. I just see all these talking heads screaming about everybody hates him because he wears a necklace and he's Deion's kid. And it's like, I don't think anyone's not going to draft him because of that. But I think we can all agree that most players, if they acted like CJ Stroud, we would prefer that over the braggadocious ostentatious like that followed Baker Mayfield for a while. I don't think that's some crazy fucking opinion to have, but hearing this kid talk and the way he approaches football and how cool, calm, and collected he seems to be.
I think it went good from me working on the clean drives I've been working on 4 months. The receiver core getting what they need to get done route-wise, getting in and out of cuts. I think all of us had a good day.
There was a point where you rolled out on one play and you looked over at Mike Braganzi and Chad Brinker, the Titans, and said something to them. They smiled. What'd you tell them?
I told them I'm solidifying it today.
Yeah.
They finally got a chance to see me throw in person. I'll get another chance, you know, hopefully to throw in person in front of them. But, you know, that's a good building that they got there. Good support staff there. I was able to meet a lot of them when I went there on my 30 visit. So, you know, I was just happy, you know, to be able to throw for them in front of them for the first time.
By the way, I think there's a difference also between confidence and arrogance and just saying I'm solidifying the first pick. That I love that terminology. I love the confidence he has, but just that level-headedness in the moment, like not giving a fuck. I know I'm being naive. He played huge games at Miami. He's been in front of the media his whole life, but he just seems comfortable in his own skin, which is really, really, you don't need that necessarily to be a wide receiver or a lineman or a linebacker or edge rusher, but to be a quarterback, you really got to kind of be at one with yourself. I think that's why people like Jaden's heart rate doesn't give him above 65 beats per minute or whatever the hell it is during the game. He's just so cool, calm, and collected. It seems like there's a little bit of that in camp.
I think he's also a pretty real person, which I really appreciate. It doesn't feel like it didn't feel like he was just giving PR heavily vetted answers and responses. They ask you this, do this. He doesn't have the athlete veneers. He's just out there as a football player throwing that rock all over the field and being damn good at it. So I do love him as a player. I've liked him for a long time. Just seeing his progression has been great. Maybe I'm hesitant because I don't want him to get ruined, and I do believe in him, and I'm hoping that teams can.
It's very insulting. You don't think he's going to be ruined in Cleveland, but he will be ruined in Nashville. It's very insulting, Tor. Considering, I mean, we all have seen the meme of all the jerseys from fucking Cleveland. That's about the Browns, you know, right? The place you want him to go because they're the true underdogs, and that's where he can thrive.
Right. Maybe he would do well in Tennessee because he seems to be the opposite of Levis. When he opens his mouth, he doesn't freak me out. When he plays on the field, he doesn't look freaked out opposed to Levis. I think Cam Ward could play 10 years in the NFL and not make one of the single poses that Will Levis made this past season after a turnover, after a bad play, or just in general on the sideline. I would never see him in that position or form. So obviously different grades of players. But, you know, I do really enjoy his play, and I think he's always been great in front of the mic. And even mixing it up, like even when Shedeur Sanders is practicing with him, his shit talking isn't like for the cameras. It's real football player shit talk. Like, no, I'm just going to outwork you today. I'm going to be better than you. You were late. You're not locked in. Just getting a little chippy, but never crossing that line.
Yeah, and in fairness to Cam Ward and all other quarterbacks, I've never seen anyone spurg out the way Will Levis did in 2024 on the field and off the field, culminating with, again, making it rain with the dollar signs when there was no yardage bonus for Calvin Ridley when he went over 1,000 yards. Let's just watch a little bit more of this because he's got some good answers here. This is, again, from Jim Wyatt. Our buddy covers the Titans beat for the Titans website.
And you kind of touched on it there, but what's the interaction been like when you came to Nashville, when you spent time with them in the last couple of weeks? How have you gotten along with everybody?
It was good. From the president, Mr. Chad, to Mr. Mike, to Mr. Dave, it was all good, especially with Coach Callahan.
He's got a list of 35 people in charge of drafting him.
Great eye contact, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, not looking right into the camera, looking right at the interviewer.
And also breathing through his nose after working out, which is something I've never been able to do.
You know, suits me from what I did in Miami and at previous stops. The terminology is not that big of a difference. He gets his guys open. He calls great plays. And so I just think if I get a chance to play with him, you know, we'll have a real good outcome.
No, you'd be happy anywhere you go. How much thought have you given to being the first pick overall and coming to Tennessee?
Not much thought. I tried to worry myself about stuff like that. You know, I can only control what I can control. I can't turn the card in myself. So, you know, the Tennessee, you know, if they give me, you know, I'd be happy to be there for sure.
See, that's different too, because remember, Travis Hunter came out and said, it's really important for me to be the first overall pick. I'll play DB. I'll play wide receiver. And I don't fault him for that. But I also think I'm not going to come out here and tell you it's important to me. I'm going to, what you said, I'm going to outwork Shedeur. I play the quarterback position. We all know the inherent value. I'm going to be comfortable with my own worth, and I'm going to solidify it at my pro day, which again, Ryan Wilson called the best that he has ever seen. So that mindset is commendable as well. And I think this benefits him, Tor. There is no every NFL town, there's reporters that'll try to do you in, and if you're a quarterback, there's a spotlight on you. But it ain't New York, and it ain't sitting there with Deshaun Watson on the sideline or any of the other, you know, possibilities, machinations of where he can go and get drafted. Like, I think that Nashville is a softer landing spot for any rookie quarterback that's being drafted one overall.
It definitely is. I think only Shador could make it work with the Giants just because he's had a camera and all the media on him for years. I think Travis Hunter needs to get buried in a town that the media is firm, but not going to crush him relentlessly. Like, if he goes to New England, works under Vrabel, that'd be perfect. I don't think him going to New York, either the Jets or the Giants, would be good because he's already coming in with baggage. He's already coming in with that girlfriend story that wants to marry him as soon as the draft or all that nonsense. He's an exciting player. He can play both sides. You're just going to have too much mix up with the media and everyone ask you those hard ass questions. Hey, Travis, did you want to play defense today? Did you want to play offense today? I doubt he gets asked that in New England, where they're going to set a role for him and give him some balance and let him just become a great player. Whereas him going to New York is a no-go, in my opinion.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Patriots didn't trade for DK Metcalf, correct?
Correct.
Stephon Diggs or Chris Godwin, any of these, none of these players ended up there. How the fuck would they draft that guy, Tor? And then come out to the media, go to Drake May, who, you know, we had Ben Volin on, I think, was talking about how Drake May was not there when Mike Vrabel was announced. He was off on an island somewhere getting engaged. He didn't like all the Joe Milton praise at the end of the year from some of the stuff we heard. Are they going to go to Drake May and say, we're playing this guy as a corner? Are they going to go to the media? Are they going to go to the fan base and say, I know we spent all this money in the offseason, we think the best thing is for him to take 10 snaps on offense at max a week. I think if the Patriots end up taking that dude, it's going to have to be as a wide receiver just because of the position that they're in.
I think it would be a ridiculous exercise to not have him on offense for a quarter's worth of the game. I don't see the value in taking him that high if he's not going to impact both sides of the ball, which is he has the tremendous talent to do. If you could have him in New England with Christian Gonzalez taking away one half of the field, Travis Hunter taking away the other half, reset for special teams. We know the TV breaks are long. These guys don't get as tired. They don't. A football game is 4 hours, 60 minutes of it is being played, and there's 60 minutes waiting on a dickhead from TV with his stupid light over his head, given the green light, and then you go back on the field. So his stamina stuff, I don't worry about. I don't worry about his injury stuff. I think that giving Drake May a Travis Hunter on the outside and a Travis Hunter on defense propels New England into a serious team conversation.
Yeah, I just think where it becomes difficult is when your wide receivers are running routes all day and there's incomplete passes and there's inefficiency from the quarterback position. And I think it was, I forgot who we were talking about, where you're running the 30 yards worth of routes, nothing happens, you run back to the huddle, that's where they gas out. And if you're playing both sides, they did sign Mac Hollins in the offseason. I forgot about that. I'm not sure how much he'll contribute, but we're assuming they're running the football, right? I mean, they got Ramondre, they got Antonio Gibson, and it's Mike Vrabel. So I'm going to assume that offense is still going to be predicated off of establishing the run. So maybe there's something to that. Focus on the defense, focus on creating turnovers, getting your offense more chances to chew clock, more chances to advance the ball down the field and chew up quarter hours. Yeah, it's possible. I can't see a world where we have this young Ferrari at quarterback and we're like, yeah, I know we drafted this guy at four. I think they're at four, right? But yeah, we're going to have him invest in the defense, especially after the offseason they've had.
Yeah, I hope they do some really heavy bite play action stuff. Just get right into the mix. Day one, get right into the Vrabel mix. Just scrap a lot of this old stuff. We're going to run the rock so hard, and we're going to sell the run so hard, defenses will have no other option than to bite on it. And then that's going to open up the pass game. And then once they're on their toes, Drake May, you're playing free. And you can actually operate within the offense. I think a young quarterback being bailed out by play action is not a bad thing. I think it's an incredible thing for them to learn how to manipulate the game and when it's time for them to take over without it. So if they can do that, which I know Vrabel can do, I would be excited for this offense compared to the last three offenses they've had, which have been snooze fests.
All right, we got sidetracked here. Before we move off of Cam Ward, I wanted to bring this up because I mentioned it in passing, but I do think it's somewhat curious. The Titans are going to hold a private workout with Ward, according to Adam Schefter, I think this upcoming week. This is after this impressive pro day where everybody was kind of sold. I don't know how you can take this other than they need to see more Tour, unless there's some posturing going on here. They have publicly stated that they will listen to offers, which I think they should. Every team should listen to offers, and they, or at least publicly put that out there. Here's what I'm worried about. What's that Batman quote that everybody, it's not what we do, it's not what we say, it's our actions that define us, right? If you really meant that, and it's like, well, we're not sure, we got to talk to this guy again, there's some great players at the top that we might take it one overall, maybe you should have signed Gardner Minshew, right? Maybe that should have been you. Like, maybe Jameis, you should have signed Jameis Winston. Like, something should have happened here where it doesn't look like, everyone knows Will Levis isn't going to be the starting quarterback next year. And so what are your options? You have had no contact with Aaron Rodgers. I forget who else is available out there. You want to try to trade for Derek Carr? Like, I don't even know what you could possibly do. But if they're still trying, if they're having another meeting trying to sell the we're not sold yet, wow us with three first round picks, who's going to buy that after the way they've treated their offseason at the quarterback position?
I'd hope the private workout contains of them going down to Broadway, finding a couple women, and then putting them at the 50 yard line, saying, go ahead, here's your private workout. You have a good time, Cameron Ward. We will enjoy your services
for years to come.
Yeah. This feels like a chess move to me in general for the Titans. It's not even a smokescreen. It's just, we're going to hit the nail one more time and say, this is our guy, and you're not going to move us off this position, so don't bother calling unless you've got a mega offer. And then they're just going to sit with that until they get a mega offer, which I don't think they'll get. But it seems like we're not going to keep this floating in the wind so people ask us to make a move. We're gonna make a move, and that means locking in on Cam Ward while still keeping the door open for huge calls.
Here's the problem. The only way that works is if they really don't like him and they want deals. Because if you truly want people to believe that you're not sold and call with your offers.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's nobody else there. Like, I'm not believing what you're telling me. I'm believing what my actions have, what I've viewed of your actions. And that's where I'm like, you either know enough now or you don't, have him be the first overall pick. You've got all of his tape. You just saw him throw. Like, maybe it's, here's the playbook. I don't know if we're allowed to give you this yet. Start learning it because we're calling your name. I mean, maybe that's the extent of the meeting. There's our buddy Jeff Nelms, who sent a 1999 super chat. Thank you so much, Jeff. Do you know how I feel about super chats?
I'm butt sliced.
Yeah, so if you want to send super chats, we're butt sized for that. Here's to the glory years of the Commanders. Left hand up, brother. Left hand up. Those glory years are back. Absolutely. I did. I think Eisen had the Commanders as a top three offseason team having offseason. I don't know how he phrased it, but I've seen that for a lot of people. A lot of people are really excited about the veterans, but they really have focused on signing guys that are kind of at the last stages of their career, hoping that this is going to be a year where they make a run and can get some juice out of those fellows.
They did very well. I think the buzz reemerged with the Michael Gallup signing, pulling him out of retirement. That's a Dan Quinn guy coming from Dallas. Again, Dan Quinn was the right guy for Dallas, and he landed in Washington. Washington fans should just be soaking that in.
Sure.
Is that they just keep on spiting the Dallas Cowboys with great moves. I'm sure Dallas couldn't use Michael Gallup at all. So that was a big ad. Debo, huge ad. Keeping Ertz, I think, was massive. He was a huge option for Jaden down the stretch of last year. The Tunsil signing was huge. it's just good. They're finally operating like fans in the area have wanted them to operate for years, and it's not bloated contracts. It's not exceeding the boundaries of realism of the player that we're hoping to come in here and be a Pro Bowler. It seems like they're just adding veteran depth and guys that can play football that have been around, and they're going to lean on the vets, and it'll be 1 year, 2 year deals. I don't think that's a bad thing anymore. I like old players in the NFL and on my NFL team. The young guys, it's becoming apparent that the strategies and the analytics is not, they're not ready to take on all of that yet. They're not, it's too much to process. Give me a guy that's been in the league for 8 years. He's going to make a lot of tackles. He's going to make a lot of plays for the team.
I think a lot of times, I think the Seahawks did this. I think the Rams are doing this. I think there's also a lot of times, Tor, where you're like, I can have young, inexperienced players if we've got a good defensive coordinator that can coach these young guys up quick, and then we'll invest in these other spots, left tackle, wide receiver, you know, all the spots that we talk about. Well, maybe they're looking at that vantage point as well. Did you see that Brandon Scherff is still a free agent? I was kind of surprised by that after the gigantic payday that he got down in Jacksonville. I think Seattle has been the only team thus far that has shown interest in him.
I thought it was going to injure himself out of the league. I didn't know. I thought that he was released or was not re-signed because he just suffered too many injuries. But if he's still battling, he's still battling. And
you got to bring him in for depth. I think any team would be well suited to do that. Thank you, Jeff Nelms, for the $19.99, and good luck to your Commandos. all right, we have a shitload of stuff I still want to get to. First of all, Tor sent me over a tweet, which I didn't understand. Let me remove the future QB one. And we'll add, of course, this is not your tweet, is it?
This is not my tweet, no.
Let me find your tweet. Whenever Tor sends me over a tweet and I don't understand it, I'm like, well, this will make good fodder. So I pulled it, and it's from My Sports Update, and it says the 2025 NFL draft is 1 month away from tonight. And then there is what appears to be an AI photo of the draft inside of Lambeau Field, which I do not believe it is. I believe it's on the outside of Lambeau Field. They've erected a big ass stage.
Yeah.
What is it that you hate about this particular tweet?
I just don't think AI is going too far. It just has. Like, we just should not be allowed to make AI renderings of Lambeau Field. We shouldn't. I don't think that should be allowed. I think it should be a law that we don't mess with this place. We don't render this place. We don't touch it. Leave it alone. Leave this place alone. It does not need an AI rendering with a bunch of blank jerseys with the stage in the middle of the field. I'm just over it. I'm over a lot of the AI stuff. Sometimes it provides me with a good, you know, hard exhale on Twitter if it's a comedically timed post or rendering. This feels insidious to me. This doesn't do anything for me, and I think Ari Meyer at My Sports Update is better than that. I think he is. He started as an aggregator, transitioned into this guy who is just now just reporting, still aggregating, but more reporting. He's better than this. This is clown show operation.
Yeah, I'll take your word that he's transitioning into something more. The aggregators are the lowest of the low. They take a story, they post an extreme, oftentimes exact opposite take above it to try to engagement form. We see that with Dove. We see that with all these guys. And so it doesn't surprise me. I'm not as triggered by this. All AI sucks right now. There's one going around where they have a picture of Trump and he's sitting there with, I don't know, one of the pedophile guys. And there's a chick hugging him and the arm is like 12 feet long and the other chick's got three arms. And so it's like, look, man, I understand wanting to burn somebody that you politically aren't in favor of. But you got the second you fucking see a picture that's too good to be true, check the fingers, check the arms. AI can't handle it. And at Lambeau Field here, there appeared to be, well, first of all, not much diversity. And then secondly, I see is that a Buffalo Bills fan?
Yeah.
Auburn fan there on the corner, I think. This is not probably a very, and what's that skyscraper in the background, Tor? You've been inside.
Not there. It's not there, Shude. It's not a real building. And you know what? It's just, it tricks people. If people couldn't be tricked by it, it wouldn't be used. But there's enough people that see these AI pictures that believe them. It's insidious. Just don't touch the landmarks. You know what? I don't care if you touch Big Ben. I don't care if you touch the seven wonders of the world. You don't touch Lambeau Field. You don't touch Soldier Field with the AI rendering.
I use Grok to make a thumbnail of Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers uniform. Is that the same? Are you as furious with me?
No, that's apt. You're touching the dirt bag with AI and his AI stuff. I can tolerate. I will not tolerate the Lambeau Field stuff.
Okay. Let's talk. I don't want to spend the whole goddamn show because I feel like that's what every football segment has been for the past couple of weeks. People just bitching about Aaron Rodgers on 100 different ways. But there was a report, I'm reading this from SI.com, that there now is a soft deadline, is the term that I'm reading here, Tor. A soft deadline that the Steelers have given Rodgers on whether or not he decides he wants to sign with them. Of course, I believe he had 6 hours of meetings with this team, walked through, talked to the coaches, presumably got the lay of the land. And a lot of people that I follow said, all right, this is it. Once you get him in the building, you don't let him go. This is the way deals are made, but that's not for Aaron Rodgers. I'm just curious, at this point, the Steelers, in my opinion, will be much better if Rodgers is the quarterback. I think the Pittsburgh right now is the best option for Aaron Rodgers. When do you, if you're Pittsburgh, stop flirting with this cat? Like, I think Minnesota was up front with him. Like, we're going with J.J. McCarthy, but if he looks like some ass or gets hurt in the preseason and you're still around, give us your number. We'll slide into your DMs. The Giants, God bless them. They were looking like some hoes there for a minute, too. No, everyone knew that he didn't want to go there. And they said, fuck this. We're going to go out and let Jameis Winston suck on his fingers and steal the crab legs and spray 30 interceptions all over the field. God bless him. Give awful quotes. And then have people manufacture that he's an Instagram darling or whatever the fuck is going on with him right now. So, like, I like barriers being set and boundaries being set, but this could be the difference, Tor, between 10 wins and a wild card and 12 and 13 wins contending with the Ravens for division. I really do believe it could come down to that. I wonder how soft that deadline is for Pittsburgh is with Aaron Rodgers and how soft it should be.
You can't leave more than 3 weeks away from the draft without knowing what your quarterback is. I think that's enough time to have a contingency plan for him and without him. But underneath that, you're scrambling and you're taking calls and now you're desperate because Big Boy doesn't want to make a call. And you need
Big Boy.
You just need to lock it in. And he needs to lock it in because he's not going to do better elsewhere. The Steelers aren't going to do better elsewhere. Just meet in the middle here. Is dance time. All right. We're not putting on the tuxedo and the corsage before you're at the dance. Do the dance at the middle of the stage. Like, do not keep on standing on the walls. And if you keep it up, dance is going to be over. No one gets a dance. And I think Aaron Rodgers needs to just nut up and accept it, or the Steelers need to nut up and say, we're going to meet you. We'll meet you right here in the middle. Get a deal done. But we can't keep on floating and drifting, treading water as the draft approaches, because it changes a lot what your quarterback is going to be.
Well, also, like, I would assume if you're courting Aaron Rodgers, you want to do whatever the opposite is, if no disrespect, what your team did with Kirk Cousins. And that is,
correct.
Hey, big man, we're three and a half weeks away from the draft. We need to know if we're taking Jackson Dart or we're taking a piece that could come in here and potentially help you out, either on offense or defense. And that is a very reasonable thing for the Steelers, because now, you know, no disrespect to Mason Rudolph, who played some good games for them, played, was in a playoff game for them. But you want, if your rookie has an opportunity to pull a Russell Wilson and go in there and just start from the jump, like we saw everybody do last year. Well, let's get on that. So if I'm the Steelers, like, I'm willing to let this marinate for another 7 days. Just personally, that's what it is, because I think Aaron Rodgers has earned that. I think that he's worth that. And then if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm not completely sold, there was a rash of injuries last year. Like the Miami Dolphins, I have no idea what the fuck they were thinking, why they didn't go out and get a better option when Tua was out for an extended period of time. But maybe that's the best thing for him, is to wait for J.J. McCarthy to re-injure himself and risk, you know, a chance to play with Justin Jefferson over going to – did you see the comments that Najee Harris made about the identity of the Steelers on offense when he came to that team?
No, I missed those.
He said, I'll try to find them. He said they had no identity. He had no one he could talk to. They had no ability to go out and execute. And I don't know if he was just talking about how they were very young at the time, but I think Ben Roethlisberger was on that team. It was not, anything, I hear a lot of ex Steelers saying after they leave that are not named Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know. Maybe Rodgers is looking at that and looking where Tomlin is, and the seat is as hot as it's ever been for him. Possibly, maybe he's seeing something that we're not right now.
Yeah, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell would still both go back to the Steelers if they gave him a call. They shot him a text today. They would be on the roster tomorrow. Aaron Rodgers should be in that 1 week protocol of, when this text comes in, I got to go. I got to get ready. Or I'm just going to go vacation in Belize for a couple months. And you're right, when one of these dumb dick teams have a quarterback that gets hurt again, like Tua, or maybe a contender, what happens if Purdy goes down? Oh, now I get to go back and play for the 49ers with a decent roster and maybe make some noise. So I can understand why he may not want to rush. But if you want the most money now and you want to actually have some stability and a better team around you, getting it inked with Pittsburgh is the smartest plan possible.
I agree. All right, I found it. Tell me what you think of this, because you don't often, because Najee Harris is not a dummy, not a crackhead, not a weirdo. Like, you know, he seems like maybe you think that a guy that size should have, you know, a little bit better ability to break tackles and yards after carry, but he seems to be a normal dude.
It's a team where, you know, we lost Ben, we lost a lot of O-line. We just didn't know anything on offense, really. We didn't have identity. We had a young guy coming at quarterback. You know, I was young, the team was young, and I really didn't have nobody to almost learn from the offensive side. I think the veteran guy on that team was like a 2-3 year vet. And that's really nothing, you know what I mean? Like, he's still learning himself. And I'm coming in and, you know, I'm just trying to look for people to you know, pick their brain off of. And it was just defensive guys. So I'll go to the defensive guys to talk to them, but, you know, it wouldn't be too much they could tell me about an offensive thing, you know what I mean? So, you know, through my years, I learned a lot that, you know, only I learned firsthand.
See, here's why I don't think that's just him talking about being a rookie and them having a young team tour. Because, hey, how's everybody doing? Again, what do we watch with our own eyes? Like, what have we seen, no matter who the offensive coordinator is, you know, no matter who the quarterback is, not that they've had a bunch of Peyton Mannings back there. The Steelers have pretty much struggled on offense out of a few Russell Wilson starts. And for him to say that, it makes me think that potentially, systematically, there could be more deficiencies on that offensive side of the football because of whatever Mike Tomlin is doing at this stage in his career. And Aaron Rodgers recognizes that, because on paper, it's been the best option for the past month or ever since he's been released from the Jets.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Arthur Smith put his grubby fingers all over this and scared Aaron Rodgers away with his dumb mustache and his bad offense in Atlanta and his bad offense in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he couldn't make Najee Harris work, who was almost a Derrick Henry 2.0. And that
he made Derrick Henry and Tony and AJ Brown work.
That's right. He did. It's not about him. I think Najee Harris, adds a lot of perspective to the mix. And that's not something I've heard about Steelers teams. It's always, DeCastro's up the middle helping everybody out. One of the Mike Pouncey's in the middle helping people out. Villanueva, big body on the right tackle, all vet forever, helping people out. And I guess when you lose that and you have to rebuild, the Steelers may have been sneaky bad at doing that, at getting locker room guys over the last couple of years. Najee Harris should have been better in Pittsburgh. I think he'll do better in Los Angeles. He's a California guy originally. He'll be more comfortable. I think the first time he saw snow in his life was in Pittsburgh. So, and he's working with Harbaugh now. So I think he will actually thrive this year. Hopefully. Won't draft him in fantasy. Never again in my life.
Never again.
Never a shot in hell. Don't care. I don't care if he runs for 2,000 yards and I get beat by him every single time I play him. I won't do it. But he could have a better year there. Pittsburgh. Still some things to flesh out, I guess.
I'm kind of surprised, unless I missed it, J.K. Dobbins hasn't found a home yet. He had 9 touchdowns last year, and, you know, they kind of had, missed some time, and they had, you know, 2 back committee, but he's been effective, and now he's a year removed from his injury. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't been brought in with this new emphasis on the running back to a system that wants to add somebody that can bring some beef.
Dobbins was good, but what teams needed from Dobbins was him to have a little extra at the end of his runs to get in the end zone. Like, I hate to draw the comparison, but Ray Rice played very similarly to J.K. Dobbins in a lot of fashion, in a lot of ways, but he had that extra gear to get into the end zone when he hit the 20. Dobbins had a couple big runs this year, massive chunk runs, hawked down inside the 20. And I think that does impact how you're going to view an offense where we can get a big bruiser. We can bring in a Najee Harris who can give me four a play. But if we need to hit the home run, well, it's between Najee and Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Not one of them can really do that. They push the pile guys, which is great, fantastic. But I think they're going to look for a burner and try to find someone that can give them that real change of pace.
Yeah, burner. All right, I wanted to get to he ain't welcome back in Baltimore for real though.
Yo, did you see the new Orioles jerseys? It's like a big bottle of Fanta playing on the field, shoot.
I couldn't believe. And then they're all
just kidding. I don't drink Fanta because I'm white trash. I drink nice orange Shasta Twist.
Let me pull those up.
Can I get an orange Rock Creek 2 liter, please? And some ketchup for my steak. I'm DeBurner.
He really is a trashy individual. I just wish they could admit that the shit sucks. Like, if the Orioles are wearing it, there isn't one Orioles fan that will admit that it doesn't look very good. And some objectivity, I think, would do well. Their fan base. I don't know. I take it back. This doesn't look as bad as I thought. Are you talking about the orange pants and the orange jerseys?
The orange on orange. They're going to get called the Cheetos all year, and that's going to be just sports media slop that people eat up. Like, I don't think it's a bad look. They're kind of leaning into what the Ravens do. They're leaning into what the University of Maryland does, where they say all of our uniforms are going to irritate people, but that's going to be your problem. Because here in Maryland, we're too dumb to really know that it's that bad.
Jesus Christ. It's a bit of a traffic cone look, I would say.
Yeah.
The other problem is, I don't know. I'm feeling an Astros vibe from this.
Right. All I ever needed from the O's was that bird. That bird cartoon. The
cartoon bird.
All over the place. Just give me the bird.
Well, the racist cartoon Indian's pretty great. I mean, if you want to talk about great logos.
Chief Wahoo was a big time logo, and it was used by every little league across America for years.
Big fan. Yeah. All right. I pulled this clip. Kay Adams is the most beautiful woman on the planet. I could never sit down for an interview with her just because she'd look at you and I'd be like, okay, here's my bank card. I know she's involved. Like, I'm saying that like I would have a shot if she wasn't. Like, I'd fucking slide into the DMs.
A lot was being made.
Here's her talking to JJ McCarthy out at some golf tournament. She's wearing a dumb hat and it doesn't even matter because she's so beautiful. But this is her thinking that the Vikings have told J.J. McCarthy that he is the starter this year because Daniel Jones is not there. Sam Darnold is not there. Aaron Rodgers is not there. And his response to that might surprise you.
He found out, a lot of buzz was being made about Aaron Rodgers. He might be coming there. He's interested. Of course he would be. It's such a great situation. Right. So I feel like we as a fan base or even media found out, like, you're the guy, the guy, recently. When did you know? When did they tell you, or when was that message to you?
They haven't told me, and I'm happy they didn't, because I try to earn it every single day, and I never want that to be given to me, and it's such a privilege and opportunity to give me that chance, and I'm just going to make the most of it every single day.
That's the right answer, of course. He looks like he's 12, by the way.
Anakin did well there.
Yeah. Man. The Lord did well with Kay Adams. I mean, Jesus, could we tone her down 4 points?
She's hamming it up. She hams it up a lot, and I don't care either. It's great.
Her eyes are. It's a good thing she's not evil. I mean, she could get some real evil done in this world. I'm glad she just likes football. Tor, they wanted Sam Darnold back. They had an offer out to him. They wanted Daniel Jones back. They've been talking to Aaron Rodgers. They haven't told J.J. McCarthy. I think, look, if you asked me if this is the right thing to do, yes, don't tell it. They told Dwayne Haskins he was the starter before he should have been told he was the starter, and we know how that turned out. May he rest in peace. I'm talking about a guy having the notion that he needs to earn it, but at what point does he think they don't believe in me? Because their actions would stipulate that they have a lot of questions about J.J. McCarthy. And maybe it doesn't have to do with his school or second thoughts about his abilities or the way that he's improved as he's been rehabbing. And maybe it just has to do with that injury. And they're worried about, him being able to go out there and be consistent. And they have it. This is a fucking Super Bowl window, right, man? This isn't the Steelers saying we want to win a playoff game. No, the Vikings are one of the best teams in the NFC, and with the right quarterback, they could be the best team in the NFC, and that's saying quite a bit. I think it's very, very interesting that combined with all of those other quarterbacks they have flirted with, they haven't told this kid, you're our guy, even though their actions, again, on paper, with not having another quarterback in the room, would say that they believe that. What do you make of him not being told he's the starter?
It's really interesting because everybody and their mothers is assuming that he's the guy, and everyone is under the same reasoning of why he would be. But until they make that call, it's not in concrete, and they're going to have to see what he is. What is he in minicamp? What is he really? And this is the gamble you take. This is the true gamble of drafting that QB when you have a quarterback and you didn't know what Darnold was going to be. So I cut them some slack there. But once you had that known commodity, you had opportunities to work and wheel and deal and find a way to be able to pay the known commodity and still get some get back from an unknown commodity. So now you're in a situation with an uber gifted team, a roster that anybody would dream of. And the one position that really matters is still the biggest question mark. It's a nightmare. If I was a Vikings fan, I'd be in constant turmoil. The whole offseason, the whole summer, I'd be having a great time looking at all the great clips. Jay Jettas grittying in the end zone in camp, big deep ball. Doesn't matter when week one happens. Doesn't matter when the pads start clacking, and that's when the stomach tightens up. And that ball of confidence you had all offseason, that was volleyball size, turns into a golf ball, and it starts working down closer to your ass.
Your asshole. You start
figuring out if this guy is the dude or not. And a lot of fans will figure it out in week one.
And ball bag and asshole and prostate too.
That is the terrifying part of the NFL and having this question of who, if we have the guy all off season, it doesn't matter. The practice clips don't mean dick to me. And I got fired up when you queued up the Aaron Rodgers to Garrett Wilson deep bombs versus the Giants. We're sitting here popping a rager. Couldn't help it. Not doing it this year with this kid. So I will all go through this same journey together of unknown into the void with JJ McCarthy.
Well, you not doing it with this kid, except that this offense, this coach, these players make Kirk Cousins look like Kurt Warner with the greatest show on turf, and made Sam Darnold into, you know, a household name again. David Flackoberry, thank you for the $5 super chat. Much appreciate you being here. Gotta love Balti Tor. Yeah, Tor and I have similar feelings on Charm City, I think. The pressure on a quarterback is always there, Tor, but how much more is the pressure on JJ McCarthy if now that coaching staff and that front office can go to him and say, we said no to Aaron Rodgers for you, so you better make sure that you're prepared and you're ready to go and that you're staying late and that you're watching film, and we don't got to put you on the Kyler Murray plan of less Call of Duty, more iPad with the film, young man. Like, that's a different type of pressure, I think, than even most quarterbacks are accustomed to.
Torture chamber. Absolute torture chamber for this kid who has been open about mental health issues, who has been open about confidence issues while in college and while in high school, and has a whole pregame routine centered around centering himself and finding his zen and finding his moment to shut out the noise. Well, the noise is a little different. I know he went to Michigan, and I know that they get loud there, and there's a lot of expectation. It's different in the NFL. It is, because there's so much money invested in not just you, but the teammates. And he needs to buckle down and figure all that stuff out now. I'm confident that he's trying his best. I genuinely am. And I'm rooting for him to be trying his best, because I don't like seeing athletes mentally crumble. It takes me back to my time mentally crumbling all the time when the lights got bright. So it does pain me. But goodness, this kid had opportunities to rise above in Michigan. I didn't see him do it a ton.
Let me just go back quickly, though, and ask you a question. You think there's a lot more pressure in the NFL, Cleveland versus Cincinnati, over you are the quarterback for Michigan, you have beaten Ohio State two or three times, and you're looking to beat them again? I don't think there's any more pressure-packed moment in all of sport than when that rivalry is locked in and both those teams are elite. And there's a couple of matchups like that, Alabama, Auburn. You go down the list of, you know, whoever your druthers are as far as your best rivalries in college football. I don't know, man, like 110,000 people in the big house, and you're, you know, fucking the quarterback of that team. I don't care how many times you hand off the ball, but that is one of the most unique pressure pack situations in all of humanity.
No, they're rabid, and you're completely right. But here's the thing. You're only there for 5 years max.
Right.
There's always going to be new guys circling in, refreshing. There's new fish in the tank every single year that could have a worse story or a better story. The NFL has only been around since 67. Each team has had a finite amount of quarterbacks to lead them to greatness or to great failure. And the teams that haven't gotten it right have a very long list of failures, and the teams that have got it right have legends. And having to work around that and knowing that every other dude on this team that's getting paid millions is dependent on you being just capable at a bare minimum, that is a pressure cooker. I just have to respect the NFL and that you're working with professionals at this point. No matter how good the team is in college, there's still a couple guys that are going to be accountants.
All right, let me bring this. I wanted to address this because this is a topic that you and I talk about quite a bit on this show, and that is the topic of tanking. And I think that we both agree that tanking in football is different than tanking in every other sport because of the physicality. There is the portion of it, though, where the coach decides who gets to go out on the field, and we can start evaluating players and yada, yada, yada. But I saw this tweet from Gary Myers, who covers the Giants, and it said this: just remember, if the Giants and Drew Lock didn't hammer the Colts and Joe Flacco 45-33 in the 16th game last season, Big Blue would have the first pick in the draft and take Cam Ward. Not so sure about that. The Titans are not trading that pick or passing on Ward so they can stick with Will Levis, so that meaningless feel-good victory doesn't look so good now. It doesn't save anybody's job, whether that's 3-14 or 2-15. That's his point moving forward. This is true, Tor, and I still don't think that it matters, and I still think that it's at your risk and peril to embrace this type of thinking, even if it is in the name of saving your job, because the one thing that you really will never be able to get back is the authenticity of your sport. I think the NBA's got a lot of issues, but one of them is it is not trusted by its fans right now. Baseball had some of that. Moving forward, they had to dispel it, and I think it's easy to tweet something like that out in that moment, but the fan base and everybody in that locker room, they're going to know and they're going to smell it if you're out there not trying to beat the fucking Indianapolis Colts in the last week of the season. That's a very easy thing to say, and I'm not so sure Cam Ward is the quarterback they'd be taking if they had one overall.
The people on Twitter that think of themselves as team builders and know how to appropriately build a team and maneuver cap, they love playing the butterfly effect game. Well, there's a reason why Dave Damashek did a whole segment for a couple years of the what ifs of the NFL. Right. What if this happened and this, and this? The NFL is butterfly effect. It's every single play. It's the Texans beating the Colts for no reason in a week 17 game to forego the number one pick and give it to Cincinnati so then they could draft Joe Burrow. It's all of these great moments of athletes not taking it anymore and saying, I'm out here playing goddamn football. And you know what that means? It means I'm going to make a play. It means I'm going to make a tackle because that's what I'm paid to do. I'm paid to do my job. You didn't hire me to sit at the 5-yard line and not move. You hired me to play football. And every play is tape. I'm not saying anything groundbreaking, but you cannot incentivize a team that wants to go play football to not play football. You just can't do it. There are guys on the team told stories to me about players that have openly admitted saying, "Yeah, I'm just not feeling today. I'm not gonna play. I'm not."
You can guess who it is. He's a head coach of a high school team now, allegedly.
And that happens. But the next guy filling in after him is likely going to want to play football. And if that means he can score a touchdown, he is going to score a touchdown. There's too much ego. There's too much pride. It's still too much of a warrior sport, no matter how much they try to pussify it. The tanking metrics and analytics and what ifs, it's a boring story to me. It didn't happen for you. You didn't lose enough games. Move on and draft the right player. You can do it. These make a team out of thin air people love to act like they would nail every single pick or that it would be impossible to miss a pick. It's the most important part of the draft. No matter what need you're fitting, getting the right guy out of that position group and no matter round, that is the key point. Teams draft well or they draft poorly, and that's the only reason you're in the situation you're in.
And when is there analytics for tanking? Like, when do you, no one's ever gone on a heater? No one's ever, I mean, the Redskins under Marty Schottenheimer went 0-5 and then 5-0. I mean, crazier shit has happened, so there's some holes in that argument. It's easy to say on Twitter 6-7 months after the season has begun.
All right, Tor, this is the most important story of the day. These are throwback helmets for the Houston Oilers. How Houston let this franchise go and then has the nerve to bitch about who owns this gorgeous uniform. Get fucked. Never stop getting fucked. But these are all the throwback helmets for the Houston Oilers. Which one is your favorite?
No, it's bottom right for me. I mean, that white with the blue rig, with the light, with the red outline. I mean, it's the perfect red right. to match with that blue. I know it's not the powder blue, but it's just such a solid blue. That makes me envision Warren Moon. It makes me happy. That's the helmet that I resonate with most.
I like them all. I do like the Love You blue helmet. The silver is great. Wow. It reminds me so much of the 70s. Look at those linemen fucking face masks that are on those. They look like dinosaur talons from another age. I get a big old fucking heart on. But you're right. It's the perfect helmet. It's the perfect color combination. And there's a reason why when they bust those sons of bitches out, everybody in the league takes notice and it's all over NFLX. And it was awesome when Derrick Henry was wearing that uniform. And it's less awesome when it's Tajay Spears. No disrespect to him. I hope they can fucking draft a quarterback and win a couple of games this year. There's only one question, though, to ask, Tor. When Cam Ward is booting out to the right and he sees Calvin Ridley sprinting down the field on a go route, do you think he's going to throw long or do you think he's going to throw real long?
I believe he'd throw it real long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Both types of sports.